Hey, TMS listeners, when was the last time you upgraded your home's Wi-Fi? Turn up your Wi-Fi a notch with Netgear's new line of Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 routers. Whether you're gaming online or watching Netflix in 4K, it's like giving your data the VIP treatment. You'll enjoy buffer-free streaming and zero lag no matter how many devices are connected to your network. Upgrade your router at netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. Make your Wi-Fi feel young again. Coming up on TMS, plug in my Super Nintendo Blow.
Welcome, the ladies of Mute.
You're the Homer in this situation.
How many people make a friend?
Isn't there a Scarlet called Something Witch?
Less rich, not as crazy, Asians.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm making dinner. Pasta for dinner. Okay, bye.
The alternate jurors are excused.
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee.
This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Hello. Still squishy? Well, not squishy. Still damp in the studio. Nothing squishing underfoot, but I've had fans going. I've got the fans off right now, but fans went all night long. I had to trigger a little Ruby Rod there. Fans went all night long and did not dry out the carpet enough to where I can put the chair mat back here, so still kind of stepping on a towel. And
well, that's no fun. None of this is fun. Yeah.
It really isn't.
Do you worry about, well, I guess that's why you have the fans, but you're worried about mildew or any of that kind of stuff?
Definitely mold. Worried about that. I want to make sure. Remember Carpet Fresh? I want to see if they still make Carpet Fresh. I want to go get that dust you sprinkle in the carpet and
they probably do.
And vacuum up.
Carpet Fresh. Is that still a thing I can get?
It's funny that here's a dust you sprinkle on the carpet and vacuum up immediately, and it's supposed to work.
Oh, yeah, here it is. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Dollar Tree. Has a bunch of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine I can get it at the local grocery store.
You can get Love My Carpet Hawaiian
Passion. Oh, my God. I remember Love My Carpet.
Yep. Remember Love My Carpet?
Yes.
They have Lavender Dreams, Hawaiian Fresh
of
Scent.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course.
Love My Carpet. Kiss.
Is it L-U-V? Ooh. Was it L-U-V, Love My Carpet, or was it just the word love? Was it a heart?
What
was
yes, the love. You're right. The O was a heart. That was it. So it was like L, heart, V-E. Yep.
Yeah.
And then they have this brand, or this smell. Love My Carpet Summer's Kiss. That's good stuff.
Oh, so it's sweaty and...
yeah. Yeah, there's no Summer's Kiss that smells good. But anyway, that'll be good. And then what you ought to do is get those, I don't know where you find these. My brother-in-law has two of them he just uses for stuff. But they're big industrial fans. So you like stick these things. They're not that big, but they're encased in a big thing. And they got a really hard core motor in them. And you put them in the room and they just go,
yeah,
for as long as you need. That's what you need.
Yeah, I think Crazy Neighbor might have one of these. Crazy Neighbor has everything. Mm. It's like, I feel like Ned Flanders sometimes. It's like, hey, neighbor, can I borrow your power washer? Diddly-doo.
Isn't it the other way around, though? It's the other way around, I think.
I would be the Homer in this situation.
Yeah, but, you're the Homer.
But he's the Homer with all the stuff. I'm the Ned Flanders that needs to come over and borrow it.
Oh, you need to get it back. Yeah, that's what it is. You got to go get your mower back that he borrowed.
Hey neighbor, you done with my?
You should ask him if he'll let you borrow that thing, because those make a huge difference.
Yeah, I totally will.
Yeah, well there you go, squishy Brian, still a little wet, still a little damp,
a little moist in the booth.
What are you gonna do? A lot of people have been asking the last few days, Scott, what's your plans for E3 this year? Well, I'm not going because. I know. I don't go to that conference.
You never go. Yeah.
I never go to that one. But I do some live coverage of it, and I do it with Patrick and sometimes John, sometimes Dunaway. But, you know, the video game crew, we'll get together and we'll do some live coverage of the different events and stuff. And that's going to be true this week. So I just want to let people know that something will be coming soon. As soon as tomorrow, Google, is it Google? Yes, Google does their Stadia thing. I won't be covering that because it's right during TMS. and I'm not bumping TMS for it. Yeah, I mean, why would I ever do that? This show's too good.
Of course, right? Yeah.
So that's going to happen with or without us, and I don't even know if I'm that interested in... I just kind of want to know the details of that. I'm not so interested in, like, a stage thing, because they're not going to get weird with it. They're just going to announce stuff. But...
Yeah, I imagine there will be spotlights, and those spotlights will move.
That's my thinking. Around. Yeah, that's also my thinking. And then also, so then the Microsoft thing, I'm... right now, there's currently a conflict with time, but I really want to be at that one. So we're doing our best, but that is Sunday. And then Sunday just kind of jumps off with a whole bunch of them. And then the following week, you got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all have stuff. And me and Patrick and others are planning on as much as we can. So that's all I can say at the moment, but our plan is to do this. We've been doing it for like 4 years, so why not? Why not now? If not now, then when? If not who, then us.
Oh, yeah, and EA is doing stuff early. Like, they're starting... Friday with their stuff.
Are they even doing they're just doing some kind of video direct thing, aren't they?
Some sort of live stream. They're going to be showing off the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Apex Legends, Battlefield 5. There's some Marvel thing that EA has been working on that is finally going to get announced after 2 years.
Oh, I thought that was Activision. Maybe
I'm sorry.
That is that Activision?
Not EA. It is Activision. Or Square?
Oh, maybe. Oh, it is Square. You're right. Square Enix.
Yeah, Square Enix. That's what it is.
Yeah, yep, it's the Ultimate Alliance thing, sequel thing.
Is that what it is? Well, is it? Do we know? Because I know there's another Avengers or a Marvel Ultimate Alliance thing coming. I feel like this is a different thing.
Well, there's a
and there's a new MOBA too.
Yeah, there's a Switch exclusive game. Then there's a big mainstream game that'll be everywhere. And then there's some new mobile business. The mobile stuff will work itself out.
The mobile is the MOBA.
Oh, is it? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're not going to compete on PCs with MOBAs. So they may as well put it on mobile.
No, Marvel, yeah, exactly. Or mobile. Okay, so there's an exclusive Switch thing. All right. See, how do you know this and I don't? Because I'm like Mr. the only games I play is like, oh, it's a Marvel thing? Sure, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's part of it is it's been... I think I only know this because I've been following that since forever, and they've been taking forever to do it, but also it's by its nature confusing as hell. They've been really weird with details, and so for a while there nobody was sure what was happening. It sounded like, oh, is this the same game on the Switch? Is this a different game? Oh no, okay, they're two games. So it became kind of this weird thing that I paid attention to. Plus I love the original
Avengers Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance. Alliance games were so good. Oh my gosh, they were good. They were basically Diablo you know, set in the Marvel universe, which is something you always want. Then Marvel Heroes tried to do that, but now that's gone. So I'm into whatever they're selling here. I want it. Should be good. Anyway, seems a little weird to have new Avengers games just as you're ending the Avengers in its main course. You know what I mean?
Well, in its current, you know what? That's a question. I'm wondering, like, what do you think that with the changes that have happened in Endgame, do they? But you know, we've got Falcon and we've got Winter Soldier. I mean, the Avengers name will still continue in the MCU. Mm-hmm. Will we get future Avengers movies, or will it now switch to like, I don't know, we've got the Eternals coming. I'm trying to think of what replaces Avengers as the group films. I think it still has to be Avengers, right? It's going to be it's going to be Falcon. It's going to be Winter Soldier and Ant-Man and Wasp and all that.
I assume so. They can keep. There's some of the generation they can keep. Some of them are gone. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of keep going. And, you know, maybe more Hawkeye. Maybe more. What's her name? The Witch. Freaking
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. Uh-huh. I was going to say Crimson Witch for some reason.
Right. We still need to figure out a way to get Vision back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all stuff they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm curious. Because what was this? Phase 5, they'll call it, or whatever? Starting up. So, yeah, it'll be real curious.
Well, the new one starting up is Phase 4. But it doesn't start up until after Far From Home. Far From Home is still the end of Phase 3.
Okay, so Phase 3 is what we're ending. All right. Mm-hmm. I get confused on those phases.
Well.
Which development of Del Boca Vista is complete? I don't know.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, well, you know, maybe another team. Well, I mean, the Defenders, we kind of had that on... we did have that on Netflix. There's no indication that MCU wants to pull the Defenders into a movie situation, although I would be totally fine with that.
Well, maybe since they're getting X-Men back and they're getting Fantastic Four back, those are two teams they could dink with if they wanted.
Totally. Right? Yeah. Oh, Fantastic Four would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, Brian's idea of it being set in kind of a, you know, future of today, tomorrow, kind of, you know, weird 50s Art Deco kind of vibe is my preferred setting for that. I don't know if they're going to do that. They probably won't, but I love the idea of the Fantastic Four being in the 60s, early 60s.
100%. 100%.
Wouldn't that be great?
That's a great way to do it is with the whole multiverse thing.
Love that.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. So that's your Ultimate Alliance thing, and that's what's coming on the Switch in July.
Yes. And I'm excited about that if they can pull this off. I don't know if it's the same developers. I can't tell who's involved in this thing. So there's, you know, part of me's like, oh, sweet, they're continuing that on. But part of me's like, it's been a while. Like, they haven't had, they didn't do an Avengers game during any of the time the MCU had Avengers movies.
Right. Except for, like, some rinky-dink iOS movie tie-in games that were, well, I take that back. I mean, Marvel Strike Force is that.
Yeah. But it's not like Avengers, right? Like, it's not like the Avengers aren't in your name where you focus on the core Avengers team the way that these video games do. It's just weird that they had years go by during all these movies and not one Avengers title.
Yeah, I mean, Strike Force is basically like that that Star Wars Heroes, whatever it was, where you've basically got, you know, a row of you and then a row of your opponent, and it's a turn-based bam, bam, bam kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And eventually you can just tell
Galaxy
it to play
of Heroes.
It.
Thank you, Icor. Yeah,
you can tell it to play itself.
No, this is going to be nice, a nice little Diablo style. Koei Tecmo. So Tecmo is the publisher, the developer of the Switch Ultimate Alliance game.
The Japanese developer. Wow, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Tecmo.
Not Super I don't know Bowl. Who. It's not going to be Tecmo football, guys.
No, but I'm pretty sure that's the same company.
It's
right?
The same Tecmo company. Yeah. It's definitely the same company some 35 years later, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no Tecmo Bowl. I don't think there's like, unless they have some little hidden thing where all of a sudden the Vision steps into a room and you're playing Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl is a great game, though. Oh, such a great little football game. That's my kind of football. Yeah. I would play Tecmo Bowl right now if I had it in front of me. I sure would.
Yeah. That's cool.
Anyway, so that's the thing. And then we're going to cover all that more starting again this weekend. So we'll get you a full schedule as we get closer. Of course, Patrick's in a weird time zone. I've got conflicting shows, but we're going to try to make it work. All right. This is a very fast mention. Since we had to talk about video games, now I'd like to talk to the rest of the world who likes things like Friends.
Okay. Covering the left brain and the right brain. Perfect.
Exactly. So if you're a Friends fan of the show Friends, which is still on Netflix, although there's rumors that's getting outbid to go back to Hulu or something right now. I don't know if that's going to happen. But anyway, if you're into that and you're like, oh, it's been so long, oh, I miss those guys, I've got great news for you. Jennifer Aniston, who still makes the rounds all the time on different shows and stuff, showed up on Ellen DeGeneres. She's a former comedian, now talk show host.
Ellen.
Yeah. Huh.
You never hear anything about Ellen. It's funny. I'm so glad to hear that she's doing things.
It's been decades, right, since you've heard the name Ellen.
Yeah, wow. Amazing.
Anyway, she's opened up on there about how she's open to do a Friends reunion and says that all of her co-stars are totally down with it. So it says this, Ellen DeGeneres has never given up. She's always saying, hey, when's this happening? Talk show host asked Jennifer Aniston about the possibility of Friends reunion on Wednesday's show of the Ellen DeGeneres show, and her answer was this. Listen, I told you this. I would do it. The girls would do it, and the boys would too, I'm sure, says Rachel Green's actress. Listen, anything can happen, she says. Aniston, who's made similar statements before, then joked that she could even do a revival by herself, which DeGeneres then joked it would be called Friend. Actually, that needs two people, doesn't it? If it's going
to
be Friend.
Right, because there needs to be, because otherwise she's a friend to no one.
Yeah, if you're alone, you're no longer a friend.
Right.
So you can't be called Friend. You need someone else there that you can be a friend with. But anyway.
I just worry that people think they want this, but if they think about this really hard, they might realize that they don't necessarily want this. Like, what's it, You know, it's going to be Ross and Rachel are married, and they're doing stuff with Chandler and Monica, who are also married. And
Like, I don't know what you do. Like, it needs to be short. It's not a show. It'd be like a 2-hour special. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no way they do a new series or anything. It's everyone looks great, especially Ross, who hasn't aged a second. I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know if Chandler.
Yeah, but Chandler, dude. Chandler looks 1,000 years old.
Yeah, Matthew Perry, yeah.
He has not taken good care of
himself. And he's probably the one out of all of them that's done the most stuff since Friends, as far as like having a bunch of different sitcoms that he's done.
I don't know. I bet Aniston's got more than he does. Well, if you're counting sitcoms, maybe not.
I'm counting sitcoms. Yeah, I mean, I guess movies and stuff, she's probably done more, but...
Yeah. Like, overall career stuff, if I had to guess, it's her, then it's... him just right there with him, and then I'd say Joey's probably coming up third, and then the rest, who knows.
I'm trying to decide if you're Matthew Perry, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm basically looking at Google images, and a lot of them are recent Matthew Perry shots, some of them are older Matthew Perry shots. I'm trying to decide if you go with the stubble look or you don't. I think what you do if you're Matthew Perry is you do the stubble, but you shave it right about here and down. So you basically keep all this stubble, but you make sure to like the next stubble is where it kills him, because his chin is not as pronounced as enough to just carry the whole.
Yeah. He's like one of my drawings, just like a thumb.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, there's a shot here where there's no chin whatsoever. I'll put it in the chat room.
He went through a bit of a time with the drugs and the whatnot, and it really ravaged him. It really kind of left him for a little worse for wear, which is kind of a bummer. And even on the show, Kim was rewatching it, and you notice how he changes over the seasons. And one season he'd be all chubby, and the next season he'd be rail thin.
Right.
And you just knew something was going on. But I don't know. He was also really funny.
He was.
So maybe he'd be very.
I mean,
maybe he'd be funny like this. I don't know.
The two shows that I remember, I think, and that he did between Friends and now that Tina and I totally loved were Go On,
yeah,
or as we called it, Goon. Oh, is Goon on? Let's watch Goon and Mr. Sunshine.
I like that you called it Goon.
Yeah.
That's a fun pet name.
Yeah. Goon. All it is just a space. Yeah. But no, Goon and or Go On and Mr. Sunshine. Now I'm doing it accidentally. both really, really good and worth checking out if you can find them on Hulu or something. Really funny stuff.
I don't remember. But, I don't remember that second one for some reason. I didn't even know that was a show.
Mr. Sunshine. Yeah. He was the. I forgot about Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip too. That was good. Mr. Sunshine was about a guy who ran a sports arena. No, he was a sports commentator on a radio show.
Yeah.
And he's just guess what? He played a really sarcastic and acerbic, witty dude who was angry all the time. And it was funny, his anger, Scott. His anger was funny.
Oh, weird. Did he ever say...
I know, so...
Did he ever say the phrase...
Could this be anymore?
I couldn't think what it was for a second, but I knew you'd get it.
Right. Yes.
I don't know, man. You know what I say? Go for it. We live in a time where everyone's got money. Netflix could flip the bill for this. Just bring them together for an hour. Do an episode of like, hey, we're all meeting up in Central Park, and then hilarity ensues, or it doesn't. Just go ahead. Right.
But see, then they have to do the whole dumb thing about what have each of the friends been doing since the end of the series? Joey's become this big, successful movie star, and he barely has time for the other friends. And Monica is now a sous chef at a fine restaurant, but Chandler stays at home and plays video games and watches Baywatch reruns.
I mean, they could go against type and say that Joey failed as an actor and is stuck doing something he hates, or... there was a major divorce, like Monica and Chandler just didn't work out. You know, like you go places with it.
Here's what you do. Here's my Friends reunion 2-hour special event.
All right,
NBC.
I hope they're listening. Boom, boom. Yep, I hope they're listening. This is it, everybody.
the friends all get together for Phoebe's birthday. It's Phoebe's birthday. Mm-hmm. And the friends all get together. It's been too long. They kind of catch up. And what Phoebe really wants to do is go to an escape room. So she go. They all, the whole friends group goes to an escape room. And they get locked in this room. And then they realize they can hear over the loudspeaker that Gunther is running the escape room and that he's not going to let any of them out. And he starts killing them off one by one.
Oh, I like it.
It's up to... It's up to Joey and Chandler, the last two surviving friends, to save the day, get out of the escape room, and kill Gunther.
So who's, Gunther...
Who's aided by a small monkey. Oh my God, it's Marcel!
So Gunther's basically Jigsaw, is what you're saying. That's what he is in those Saw movies. All right.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that pretty much is it, isn't it? Because I guess escape rooms were inspired by Saw, so this would be inspired by escape rooms.
I'm into it. Let's do it. There's your movie.
You know, the one that did it right, Seinfeld did it exactly right as far as the reunion. Do it on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Have it be the actors getting back together. You don't really get the characters so much, but you get characterized versions of the actors, and that was so well done.
So what show would you put that on? Would you say maybe just put
Ellen?
It on? Okay.
Oh, that's how you do it. All right. Okay. It's
put it on Curb. Put it on Curb again. That's what you should do.
It's Lisa Kudrow's birthday.
All right.
And she's on Ellen. And as a surprise, they've brought all the other cast members from Friends together. But in the green room, they get locked in, and it's Gunther.
Oh, wow. Even better. Let's just combine your other ideas. I like it. Yeah, I like perfect. It. Look, just do Curb Your Enthusiasm again. He has to get the Friends cast back together. It worked for Seinfeld. Do it again. That's fine with me. Make it
and
funny.
And J.K. Grammer, he says, Friends reunion would probably be fun. If you didn't like the show, then that's cool, but you don't have to hate on it. Oh, I don't know if that's directed towards us, but...
No, I don't think it's towards
Scott
us. I like
both
Friends.
Been very, well, Scott and I have both been very open about the fact that we loved the show Friends. We even watched it again recently and still loved it, even though some of it didn't hold up to the new time period. I just think that reunion shows... usually, like bringing back the cast to do something again, usually sucks.
Yeah, that's a generally...
Raise your hand if you watched the Will and Grace show that just came back a couple years ago and enjoyed it.
Is it still on? I don't know. Is it still a thing?
No idea.
Let's find out.
No idea.
Did you watch it? Maybe it is good.
Arrested Development, another good example. That first Netflix season of Arrested Development made me not want to watch the newest season of Arrested Development.
You should go watch you should watch the re-edit though. It's good. It's good.
Oh, do they? Oh, that's right. They did a re-edit. Okay, you know what? I will do the re-edit.
I would highly recommend it. They basically take that whole thing and edit it the way the director wanted to edit it, and it's so much better than it was. So much better.
Okay, you know what? I'll give that another chance. But the way they had it edited before, that made it so difficult.
That Will and Grace thing now is popular. It's still on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good. Did you see it? Did you watch it?
No, I haven't. But I didn't watch the original. Oh. So I really, that's maybe a bad example. What's another good example here? Fuller House. Fuller House, good example? I don't know. I didn't watch any of that either. I never watched the original show there.
People were into it. If you liked Full House, I guess you liked Fuller House. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Right, I actually think there have been less examples of bad ideas like this. The worst one I ever saw was the Andy Griffith one. And this was forever ago, where Andy Griffith and the whole townspeople, they all got back together when like everyone's almost dead. And it sucked. It was bad. So I like the X-Files one. That was good. That was a fun return. No?
Was it?
It was.
There were a couple
good
episodes, but...
I don't know. Maybe the overall arc wasn't good. I like the one with that Rhys Davies guy where he played the weird alien. The guy from Band Meeting, that guy. I love that one.
Yeah, okay. That was good. Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying this is possible. They're all still... They all look great except for Chandler, and they all could make that work even with Chandler. They could make his scruffy look could flow into the thing. Midlife crisis Chandler would be fun to play with.
Do they do like the friends get back together for an intervention for Chandler or something? Is that the...
Yeah, they should. Because I think that actually happened to all those people in real life at one point. I think they all did some kind of something. Yeah, because he was on drugs for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You knew that, though. We were just talking about that, the drug thing.
I think I do remember talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, he was a mess for a while.
It's the Friends reunion that nobody wanted. Yeah. Especially Matthew Perry.
Probably. All right, well, that's all felt well and good. Thought we'd let you guys know what was going on in the world of Friends. That's our job here. Now we call Dunaway. We give away some prizes.
And it's okay to like what you like and don't like what you don't like. Totally fine.
Oh, yeah, no. If you don't like Friends, you shouldn't watch Friends.
Yeah.
I'd recommend not watching that if you don't like it. Why would you watch a thing you don't like?
Don't watch something you don't like.
Yeah. But if you like it, you probably should watch it. It's pretty good. All right, here's this. All right, it's time for us to play a little Babel Royale with Brian Dunaway, I think is already here. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hello. How
hello,
are you?
Hello, Brian Dunaway.
I am here.
Yeah, it's good,
good
to
call.
Good to have you here. How are you? How's your Wednesday so far?
Wednesdays are Wednesdays, man. Mm. It's the hump day.
Yeah, always for the humping. Never for the day.
It's a day just for humping.
That's right. I think we already have a caller on the line. Let me find out. Hi, who's this?
This is Talia.
Ah, Natalia, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right. How about you?
Remind me where you live. I forget.
Canada.
Canada, that's right.
Canada.
Canada, oh, Brian. Canada. Canada. We love that freaking song. I don't know how it goes. How does it go? Let me try it. Hold on. Oh, Canada.
No.
Oh, Canada.
You've got the big red leaf. And
fertile land, true patriot, under somebody's command.
Your money has holes in it.
That's right, Lister. You too can call in and have your national song made fun of.
We like hockey.
Glad you're here.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you here, and we're going to play a little game, as you know. Brian Ibbett will now explain the rules and what's your good win.
I will do exactly all of those things. Natalia, I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, as Scott is known to do, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a 3-pack of prizes from Steam. Courtesy of who sent these? Courtesy of somebody who sent these. Wesley sent these. Get off the bridge. Wander Song, Do Not Feed the Monkeys, and The Journey Down, Chapter 3.
Do Not Feed the Monkeys. I've been playing that for the last couple of weeks. That's a lot of
fun.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about it on the Boop Show on Monday. You really liked that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so much fun.
I'm going to have to grab that because what you described sounds pretty neat.
What about The Journey Down Chapter 3? Do you know, either of you know that game? Mm-mm. Can you play that game without knowing chapters 1 and 2?
The Journey.
Were those journeys down in different directions?
Chapter 3.
The Journey Left.
It's so scary.
I'm looking right now. Journey Down. Let's see. Chapter
Don't
3.
Stop Believing.
It has a very positive review on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, I have seen this game. I've not played it, though, but this looks neat. It's like a... how do you explain this? It won a bunch of stuff, like graphic design awards and best music and a whole bunch of things like that. And I guess the first two are really good, too, but I don't know much about them. But they're basically point-and-click adventure games, but just kind of next-level visuals and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Nice.
All right. So, Natalia, those are the things you could win. Mm. What's that, Brian?
I said sign me up.
Oh.
Okay. You're signed up. Here is the topic. Comes from TMS Mashups. It's kind of a fun and easy one, sort of, because I'm thinking that that the challenge will be in remembering what other people have said.
Oh, God.
What's been guessed so far. There are 12 signs of the zodiac. How many can you name?
And I'm
guessing each of you should be able to name at least one.
Yes.
I can't answer anything. Who? All right.
I'll try.
All right. So, Natalia, knowing that, and no writing them down. Knowing that.
Want to write them down? Come on.
You can't write them down.
All right.
Knowing that, who do you want to go first, and who do you think is going to win?
Oh, wait. Sorry. I have her muted. Sorry, that was my mistake. Go ahead. Say it again.
This is Talia, not Natalia. Talia Zarell in the chat.
Talia
Zarell. Duh. Duh. All right. Well, now we got it. Sorry. Who do you think wins and who goes first?
I'm going to bank on Scott getting flustered and let's start him first. Let's say Dunaway wins.
Okay. I'll okay. start.
Do it.
I don't. This is a fair thing to wonder about me. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I think it's a 100% chance of Scott getting flustered.
Yeah, I'll get flustered. Seems about right. All right, I'll go first. We'll start with the one I know. Cancer. I got the cancer. Yep.
Cancer. Very good.
Uh-huh. Cancer. I'm gonna go with the two fishes, the Pisces.
Pisces. I do need to ask: are these your own? Like, are you getting your own?
Yeah, yeah. That was mine. Pisces is mine. Yeah.
Leo.
Leo, sure.
That's a lion there, isn't it? Right,
that's
lion.
That's the sign, the symbol of the astrological symbol of Twit, and accidentally sending your junk or putting your junk on Twitch.
Great,
perfect. Nice.
Brian said so it, not
is,
me.
Is that Kim's sign?
Is that what? No, that is not. I don't know what Kim's sign is because I think I think star signs are bullshit.
Wow.
Because it's horseshit. Why do I want to remember a thing that's the most fake thing ever? There's no way that matters in my life.
All right, Brian.
Well, I'm going to go with my significant other's Libra.
Okay.
Libra. How do you think we met up? We met up at the bar. It's like, hey, baby, what's your sign?
Yeah.
Well, you can't spell Libra without B-A-R.
Libra, I'm a fish.
Scorpio.
There you go.
Scorpio.
Brian Ibbotson.
Excellent.
Sorry.
Oh no. He's been listening the whole time.
The whole time.
He doesn't say Scott's got a big unit.
Scott Johnson's got quite the.
Yeah, he does.
Quite the unit.
Yeah.
Oh, he never actually says it's big. He just says it's impressive.
Just quite the unit, whatever that is.
Surprising, yeah.
Exactly. Scott Johnson's got quite the unit.
I don't know what it. I mean,
it's like saying Steve Buscemi's got quite the face.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are in the time of the Gemini, so I'm going to go with that one.
Oh.
In the time of the Gemini. How do you know all this crap?
These things are so dumb to me. All right, there's one.
Oh, my God. My significant other is heavy into this. I didn't really know much about
really?
It.
Oh, really? Does she read her horoscope daily?
No, she doesn't really read the horoscope, but she's very much believes in the personality types based on those. That's most of what she looks at.
All right. Well, I still like her and you. There's the one that's the rhymes with the Ford car. So I'll say Taurus, or maybe it is actually Taurus.
Rhymes the Ford
car. Rhymes and is exactly the same letters and word.
For some reason, when I was younger, I thought it was Taurus. But you know why? It's because their ad campaign was Taurus for us. They would say, and so it rhymes.
You could say Taurus is for us. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but Taurus is different than Taurus, right?
Well, it's two ways of saying the same thing. Unless you're talking about the giant donut shape, which is a Taurus.
Oh. Is that a thing? Or like a tubular donut shape?
Yeah, like a big tubular donut shape.
A tubular donut shape.
And that is T-O-R-U-S, I think.
What is that even?
I don't know what that means either, but I love it. All right.
Capricorn.
It's my favorite kind of corn.
Has not been said yet, and is, yes. Way better than candy corn.
Right.
Sagittarius or Sagittarius?
Ooh, good
one. Sagittarius. Good. Excellent. We've only got three left that have not been said.
Okay. How about the age of Aquarius?
Oh, geez.
Wow. All right. This is the dawning of the Cajun Aquarium.
There's two more?
There are two more.
There's a V one. It's like vertigo. That's not my answer. But it's like
yes, vertigo. That's what it is. You got it.
Vertigo,
nailed it.
Virgin. Not virgin. Virgo
is correct.
Virgo. Got it. Well, Vegetarius is the chat room. That's really good. Vegetarius. Someone should title up. Put a title in there for Age of Vegetarius. If you don't do it, we're really doing this wrong.
Yeah, that better be a title. Exactly. All right, Dunaway. So this you do decide right now whether Talia wins or not. If you get this right. Talia wins. But if you don't, then Scott wins.
Well, I was almost this. I missed it by just a few days. So that kind of gives me some of the traits of the Aries.
Well done, sirs. Yes, you knocked out all 12 astrological symbols.
Oh, my.
I I would have bet that this was going to go eight, and then somebody was going to repeat one that was already said. So
I was honestly about to say Pisces again. So,
that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Like, literally, I couldn't remember if he had said Pisces or not. So
very good. Nice job. So, Tali, you automatically win because not only did Brian get the last one correct, but because all 12 items were identified, you would have won regardless. So
also, done. And I did get flustered about Virgo, but I got it eventually. So you were even correct about the flusterization of Scott Johnson.
I also played 2 weeks worth of that game we talked about on the Boop Show, Scott.
Which one?
Astrologaster.
Oh, Astrologaster.
Where I had to read the stars. And these were a constant reminder.
I should have thought of that, because just Monday you detailed it and how it was all about that stuff and the guy reading the stars for the characters.
Is it really pronounced Astrologaster and not Astrologaster or something like that? Like
what you said, but I like to say Astrologaster because that helps me spell it.
Astroblaster.
Dude, Astroblaster was a great game. That was a great game. All right, well, here, I got to play this.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Well done. And this stuff's easy to get to you because this is simply an email. Send Brian Ibbett an email at coverville@gmail.com. He'll give you the codes and off you go into the sunset. Thanks for playing and picking so well today, I tell you.
All right. Thanks. Love the show, though.
All right. We'll see you later. All right.
Excellent. Well done.
She was just right to the point there. Let me put that back in there. Close that. All right.
Very, very frequent commenter in the Discord and in chat. Always here and always supportive.
Oh yeah.
In the various means of communicating in the Tadpool.
A very, how do you put it? A very regular
prolific
voice and face in the Frog Pants community for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Well done and congratulations,
and
Brian.
And she's always listening to Guest Connection too.
Sorry. Oh, that's true. That's good. Almost called my shot. What?
I don't know what that means.
Almost called
Scott, what do you?
I think it's a line from Hamilton, if I remember.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, I almost
called that shot.
I almost called that shot. Anyway, what, Dunaway? You were saying something?
Elder Scrolls Online. When are we playing?
Oh, whenever you want. I've got my Necromancer going. It's been a good time. Oh, you know what? You probably don't have that Elsewhere expansion that just came out, do you?
I don't have it. Yes, I do not.
I might have. Code.
You have a code.
I'm a code.
You know, this week was the Bachelor thing, and we're supposed to play video games. So I haven't done it. I've been playing on the Twitch.
I'm gonna get you a code.
Give me a code.
I'll get you a code.
Give me a code.
I'll get you a code. While in between then and now, have a fantastic day. Stay out of trouble, and we'll see you later. Bye,
thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you, Brian.
All right. That was lovely.
What's our film sec this week? It's Eight-Legged Freaks. Speaking of friends, that is Courtney Cox Arquette's husband, David.
Yep, and guest star on Friends itself. He was on there a few times.
That's right.
Yep. I don't remember in what capacity. What was his deal?
I don't either. I don't know. I don't remember how he was connected to the Friends.
I figured out everybody who mattered in the 90s has been on Friends. They've had Brad Pitt, which is where he met Jennifer Aniston. Yep, George Clooney.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who did I see the other day? Paul Rudd.
All right, let me see how you do with this. We had a trivia question last night. By the way, got our first ever perfect score in team trivia, not the Geeks Who Drink trivia. We're qualifying for another thing, which is team trivia. Let's see. So the Angelina Jolie has been in a bunch of movies. Excluding her animated films, there have been 6 that grossed over $100 million. How many can you name?
Oh my gosh, dude. I couldn't do that. Let me try it. Can I try it?
All right. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have posed it to you if I didn't want you to try.
All right. Let me give it
we'll
a
do
shot.
It quick and then we'll get to one news.
No,
story.
No, no. It's all good. Oh, geez. Okay, Salt.
Yes.
I assume the Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing counts.
Yes.
The one with the guns. You could make the bullets curve. It's based on a comic.
What is that called?
It's called. I can't remember the name of the comic or the movie. That's gonna annoy me. Okay, well, that movie, whatever that is.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was Wanted, and that's one of them.
Wanted, yep. Shit. Okay. Uh-huh. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, the first and the second one?
The first one, yes, not the second one.
Oh, crap. I would have got that wrong. Well, that explains why they quit making them, because 2 wasn't a big success, right?
Right.
2 was kind of a stinker.
Yep. But one was good.
How many do I have left?
You've gotten, with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Wanted, Salt, and Tomb Raider, you've named 4. The biggest one, yeah, Sidney just mentioned in the chat room, Maleficent.
Oh!
The biggest. Okay. Gone in 60 Seconds, and that's the rounds out the top 6. The one that I suggested, but we didn't put it down, I'm like, did Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow make enough money to cross the 100,000 threshold? Mm. The answer to that is, oh, definitely not. It
didn't, huh? That's too bad. I think that movie's cool.
Yeah.
But not cool enough, I guess. I forgot she was in
cool looking. Yeah, I did too. And well, that was like, all right, well, it has to be like some sort of genre film because she's never done any MCU or DC stuff. So
That's true. All right, well, that was a fun little extension of our trivia today.
Yeah.
But congratulations to you guys for getting it. Nice job. When was that? Thanks. Last night at the bar thing you
went
to?
Last night at the bar thing.
Very nice. You know, the bar thing.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
You've heard Alex on America's Next Top Podcaster. Now listen to his show, The Dad Chronicle. This week, he speaks to TMS's very own Wendy Dunford about destigmatizing therapy and how it can be tremendously valuable to your family and children. She also shares some of the ways partners can help their wives work through postpartum depression. Listen to the valuable insight she brings to parenting by heading over to thedadchronicle.com or subscribe to The Dad Chronicle on your favorite podcatcher.
Nice. Go give that a listen. I'm about to sit down with him on tomorrow night.
Chronicle as well. Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow night we're gonna hang out, he and I, and do a
make
little.
Make sure you compliment his voice. Would you? Would you just do that? Would you just say something nice
every time
about
I see
his
him.
Voice, Scott? Is that too much?
Every time I see him or hear him, I have to tell him that his voice is good now.
Oh right, yeah, I forgot that Angelina Jolie's she's gonna be in The Eternals, so she's getting her MCU thing.
Oh, finally in the MCU.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eventually, everyone will be in the MCU. That's just how it's gonna
eventually,
go.
Eventually, yes.
Exactly. All right. The HBO show Chernobyl, which I raved about and finished because it ended this week, is amazing. And apparently IMDb agrees with me. It is now the one show on the service that has the best audience ratings ever. It tops Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad, which previously held the top spot at one time or another. It aired its finale on Monday night. It was a limited run series about this actual historical event. The kind of thing that would have been merely interesting for a lot of people, or at worst boring and dry. Instead, it was a blockbuster success for the pay cable giant, considered by viewers and critics to be one of the finest shows of its kind. I would 100% agree. Social media critiques were uniformly positive, but that wasn't the only evidence of its quality. Forbes culled audience ratings for... the portrayal of the Ukraine nuclear disaster that killed thousands and left an entire region uninhabitable. Here it is by the numbers. Chernobyl, 9.7. That's 111,000 votes. So that's 9.7 out of 10. Number 2 currently on this list. Planet Earth 2, 9.5% with 71,000 votes. Band of Brothers, 9.5. That's another HBO joint. Mm-hmm. Planet Earth, the first one, 9.4. Breaking Bad, finally back in there at 9.4. So kind of a tie there. Game of Thrones at 9.4. There's a difference in votes, but it doesn't make up enough difference for a percentage.
Right.
Game of Thrones is right there as well. Our Planet at 9.4. People really like these nature documentaries. Jeez.
Yeah, Planet Earth 2, Our Planet.
Yep, it's all got... It's because... what's his name? Can't think of his name. What's his name? David Attenborough. That's why. He's the man.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. So really, if you want to create a really good show, put the word planet in the title.
Yeah. Like Planet Hollywood. No. That's it's a casino restaurant thing chain. Don't do that.
Yeah.
let's see. The Wire comes in at 9.3. Cosmos at 9.3. Blue Planet at 9.3. Another one of those.
Breaking Planet. All of a sudden, it's a lot better.
It says that means that however many viewers the show had, and Chernobyl hasn't had Game of Thrones audience numbers, obviously.
Sure.
Most almost all of them consider it to be a masterpiece. Let's see, just a few tweets give plenty of anecdotal evidence, blah, blah, blah. You can watch Chernobyl for yourself if you missed out, and I would highly recommend it. I know I've been nonstop shutting up about it, but it's really fantastic.
Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be the next thing we watch. We're right now wrapping up season two of American Gods. We couldn't do it all in a week. There's a 7-day free stars trial.
Oh, my gosh.
We tried to get all both seasons of American Gods done during that week. But as of today, we still have 4 episodes left of American Gods, and our 7-day trial ended yesterday. So now we have a month to watch the last 4 episodes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And anything else we want to watch on Stars. Are there any other good things on Stars that we should binge while we've got it? Anything else that people...
I like that Evil Dead thing show they did.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah, that was good.
Is Outlander on Stars, or is that something else?
That is also Stars, yes. So Outlander you could watch. I never saw any Outlander either. Everyone tells me I should be watching it. That's a Ron Moore joint, right? Last thing he did before this new Apple thing. That was his show.
I think that's right, yeah.
Spartacus is on there. Power, I don't know.
Counterpart, Vita, now Apocalypse.
Oh, is Outlander's Sails on Netflix now, so I guess Outlander is... You can get that on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Party Down was such a great show. That's for
everyone. Oh, yeah. Party Down, yeah. That
so good.
That I've seen.
It was so good. My next thing is Good Omens. I got to get that going.
I hear good things about Good Omens. And great cast. Jeez.
Yeah, Good Omens, great cast, incredible writers. This is Terry Pratchett's work as finished and sort of made ready for this this medium by... who did it with him? Shit. What's his name's husband that you like that sings? Lily Allen. No, yeah, Lily Allen's husband. Jim Bob McGee.
Neil Gaiman,
thank you. Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
Neil Gaiman and
Amanda Palmer.
Or Palmer's who I meant. Yeah, no. You're right. I got the wrong girl, wrong names, everything. But Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett were like close. And when Terry Pratchett died or before he died, the talk is that he asked Neil Gaiman to finish this up and get it, you know, and do it right. And he did. Apparently, he did a really good job. So. Worth checking out. All right.
Oh, I'm liking the description of Counterpart. What might be different if a person could coexist in an alternate world? Howard Silk, a low-level agent whose career is winding down at a Berlin-based United Nations spy agency, unwittingly learns the answer.
Wow.
Oh, this sounds good. I'm liking the sound of this.
Where did you
hear? Hey, we got a month.
What's Counterpart? I don't know what that is.
Counterpart is another Stars series that people in the chat room.
Okay. All right.
Ooh, and it's got your J.K. Simmons.
I like
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, get a rope. He's great.
And Olivia Williams, Nazanin Boniadi, Harry Lloyd, Seta. Wow, her name is Sarah Setaikoko.
Mm. What's this? Is this based on something like a comic or something?
Doesn't say in the description if it is, but. But boy, this does sound good. It sounds like the right thing to pick up on.
Mm. I'm into it.
Is that Ken
created by Justin Marks on the Premium Cable Network Stars, so it does not look like it was based on a previous property.
Oh, it's got that Olivia Williams in it. She's so weird.
Yeah.
She's weird.
So weird.
She is weird.
So weird, Olivia Williams.
She's just weird in things she's in. Yeah, she's weird.
Sixth Sense, Postman, Rushmore.
Oh, they got tons of movies in there. Let's see. Yeah, I haven't heard of this. I'll have to watch this. Harry Lloyd. Why do I know that name? Harry Lloyd.
Because it's the two guys from Dumb and Dumber.
All right, it's Harry and Lloyd.
He was also on this little show called Game of Thrones a little while. Who did he play, Harry Lloyd?
Game of Thrones. He played Viserys Targaryen. He was the brother.
Oh, right. Okay, so he was only in the first season.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not even recognize him without the blonde hair.
Yeah, jeez. He got gold-headed in that thing.
Yes. Wow, yeah, he did. Boy, did he.
Yeah. How about a little hot gold for you there, buddy boy?
Harry Lloyd. When Harry met Lloyd and became Harry Lloyd.
Yeah. I meant to watch I've got so much stuff to watch right now, but I meant to watch the premiere of Handmaid's Tale last night, season 3, and I didn't do that. Just behind. I got to do it sometime tonight. All right. Let's move on to this final article here.
Okay.
This seems obvious, but eating chicken nuggets will increase your risk of early death, according to a new study.
Makes sense.
Yep. They're the go-to choice for many people after a boozy night. Is that true?
Oh, really? I didn't realize that that was...
Because it fills you up.
Hangover
and, like,
food or drunk food.
Soaks up the alcohol.
I thought White Castle was the only real definition of drunk food.
That's what I thought, too. But apparently this is a thing. Scientists have now revealed eating ultra-processed foods like chicken nuggets increases your risk of heart disease and even early death. I feel like this is something we all sort of knew already, but whatever.
Kind of, yeah.
They're higher in fat. They're added salt and sugar. They have too many preservatives. Examples.
They're made of parts of the chicken that you shouldn't be eating.
They're made of things that the chicken doesn't even recognize. That's how weird they are.
Right, right.
It says a 10% increase in the proportion of ultra-processed foods in the diet was linked to a 12% increase of cardiovascular disease, 13% increase for coronary heart disease, and 11% for cerebrovascular diseases, which is like strokes and stuff, affecting the blood supply to the heart and brain. Association was also seen between intake of unprocessed or minimally processed foods and lower risk of reported diseases. So if you go make your own chicken, wrap that up in your own breading, and then make your own nuggets, you'll be fine.
Sure.
Do that.
Yeah, and you can. I mean, you can go get the, like, there are chicken breast meat tenders out there that you can do that with and get one of those little air fryers and make a little delicious panko, egg wash panko flour breading to put on the outside. Boom. Yeah. Bob's your uncle. And then Bob's your uncle.
That's true. Hey, Zoe brings bacon in the chat. Is Bob's your uncle still a thing people say over there? Because that used to be a thing in Britain, right? It was a UK thing.
Yeah.
I've always been curious about that.
You take a ride on Derby Street and Bob's your uncle. You'll be right there.
Yeah. Oh, there she says. Yeah. Yes, it is. She says.
Cool.
Hobbs is right. Soon we'll get a report that death is very fatal. Yeah, I think you're right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom's Tech Time with Tom Merritt. That'll be great. Also, Recommentals with Nicole Spagnolo, which will happen after that. Before that, though, a break and a song with Brian Ibbett explaining it.
Right, Scott. Going for a band called Ramonda Hammer. It's not a singer named Ramonda Hammer. No, the singer is a woman whose name is something Davis. Where is it? It is
Andy
Devin
Davis.
Davis.
Oh, okay.
she's the lead vocalist. It's a Los Angeles based quartet, guitar, vocals, rock. This is great stuff, and I hope you enjoy it. I enjoy it. The brand new album is called I Never Wanted Company. It comes out later this month on the 14th of June, a week from Friday. Here is the brand new single from the album. It's called You're Invited. Here is Ramonda Hammer.
It's got me thinking that I'm next, not yet. My hands confirm what's in my chest. I'm ready to leave. It's a long road. It's a little of a stretch. You're invited. You're invited. You're invited.
guys, you upgrade your smartphone all the time. Your TV, your laptop. All they have to say is, hey, look at these hot new features. You're like, yeah, damn, I'm gonna upgrade to that. Well, when's the last time you did this for your home Wi-Fi? It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right? You kind of forget that you're getting slower. Everybody else is getting faster. Well, it's probably been a while for you. Been a while for me. So do what I did. The future of Wi-Fi is here. Time to welcome the Wi-Fi 6. It's an upgrade from Netgear. The Netgear Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 routers give you ultra-fast speeds and wider coverage throughout your home, and you get 4 times the capacity compared to today's other Wi-Fi solutions, which means you can connect more devices, more phones, more tablets, more desktops, more everything, more TV. Everything's connected now, so it's everything. And you can also stream simultaneously without impacting your Wi-Fi speed or its reliability. The devices of today and tomorrow demand more. Your old Wi-Fi is timing out. You need the latest in high-performance Wi-Fi that can keep you and your entire family up to speed. It's the biggest revolution in Wi-Fi ever, and you need an experience with it to believe what you're seeing. Like, to see the difference, you need to try it. If you stream your shows on services like Netflix or Hulu, the newest line of the high-performance routers from Netgear will eliminate buffering and let you stream smoothly to 4K. And it's, I don't know, it's like giving your streaming system its VIP treatment. Let's put it that way. If you game online, lag will be a thing of the past. Turn up your Wi-Fi to 6 with the Netgear Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 router. Go check it out today at netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. That's netgear.com/Wi-Fi and the number 6.
Okay, she had marks on her nose. I'm giving you that.
Now go take a shower. You and James Gandolfini there.
The Morning Stream. Better than dog butt flung poo.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Time to drag Tom Merritt in here, kicking and screaming.
Pull him in. By the way, I like your glasses. I remember seeing you post about shopping for those on Amazon with the round John Lennon.
They're very circular.
There was like a whole big description of like.
These are. Oh my gosh, Tom Merritt.
Wow. Oh, that's him kicking and screaming.
I guess so.
Can't see me kicking.
But, oh, yeah. All right. Well, that explains that.
Promises.
You know what? I'm kicking and screaming about you two.
What?
You act. I feel like you don't even know me. You haven't even heard of Counterpart?
No, I've never heard of Counterpart. Have you been?
Have I not raved to you about Counterpart?
No, I have.
It is a dereliction of my duty as a friend. Then I apologize.
Oh wow, no, you haven't, and I think maybe part of the problem is I have not caught a recent episode of Cord Killers. You probably have talked about it there. My guess is
you've been doing it on Spoiler in Time.
Yeah,
that's right. Which, you know, I get it. Not everybody wants to watch Spoiler in Time because not people won't be spoiled and stuff. So
yeah, no, I feel
rearrange those words and they make a sentence.
I feel like I have a bad bias towards Stars, against Stars, and I always think that Stars is garbage, and I don't know why I do that. I think it's based
Stars
on
Stars does have Outlander, by the way. Maybe Netflix has it,
but Netflix also has early seasons or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think in the US they do though.
Oh
really?
Well, okay. Maybe.
So maybe still a lock on.
Right.
So
anyway.
I've got 1 month left on Stars. Because I didn't finish American Gods fast enough. So Outlander first, then Counterpart first, then Outlander, you think?
Yeah, because Outlander's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, literally a lot of tea being drunk. but I love it. You know, Eileen brought me into it because she was into the well, I don't know if she actually read the books, but she was into the idea of the books anyway.
Yeah.
First two seasons of Outlander on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. America. Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting that Stars would do that.
I thought Stars had backed out completely, but okay. So here's my question about Outlander real quick. Am I going to get proper Ron Moore, or am I just going to get some weird thing he decided to do between Ron Moore things? Do you know what I mean?
You're not going to get the Ron Moore you expect, but I would call it proper.
Okay.
It's not dark, spacey stuff, right? Okay. Obviously, because it's time travel into Scotland of the 1700s. But there's a lot of really interesting, like, historical allusions, Scottish battles. If you're into a time travel story, and here's why I'm a sucker for it. She comes from the 40s into the 1700s in the UK. Like, why wouldn't I love this? It's everything I love in a story except post-apocalyptic space, but it's got everything else. So, yeah, if you're into historical dramas, if you're into time travel, if you're into the 40s and 50s kind of aesthetic, you're going to get pieces of all of that in there. And it's, you know, it's a love story. So if you're into romance, for sure.
It's, and what's the J.K. Simmons show is what, part-timers? What is it? What is it?
Counterpart.
Counterpart.
Oh, Counterpart. Yeah. I mean, first of all, just watch it for J.K. Simmons' performance. He's amazing because he's playing two versions of himself.
Wow. All right.
And you forget that they're both J.K. Simmons. He does it so well.
Are they ever in the same room together?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm in.
I mean, spoiler, but yeah.
That's double the J.K. Simmons, which in my book is a good value. So
yeah. The whole premise of it is that the world has been split. And there's an uneasy truce between the two versions of Earth in order to keep the rest of the planet from knowing that it's happened. It's a secret.
All right. I'm in. It's nice to see stars do things that are that cool. Every once in a while, something like that will happen. Like the new AT&T network will have like some amazing comedy. And you're like, whoa, what's that doing over here in this weird corner? I don't give enough credit to these places on the internet because my feeling was always like, oh, stars, that's where you just get bad movies, and then occasionally like
Torchwood was the best thing they had done, and it was the worst season of Torchwood.
Yes,
the one they did.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That used to be the case.
Or that Spartacus show, with I think had potential, just turned out to be a lot of naked people and a lot of 300 ripoffs. Like, it just wasn't great. Mm-hmm. And I've always just kind of had a bad taste in my mouth for those guys. But you know what you've said has added more to the pile of reasons I should watch. Yeah, give me some additional.
Yeah, Counterpart in particular.
All right.
I can get behind that.
I'm in. Speaking of what else I'm into is you coming on Wednesdays and talking about tech in preparation in part for the Daily Tech News Show, which happens later today. I'm curious what might be knocking at your door this morning.
Well, I don't know if we'll end up talking about this today or not, because I know you want to talk about some of the Illustrator and art-oriented announcements from the Apple WWDC thing. But something that I don't think got as much attention as maybe it should is a change to iOS 13's battery management. So iOS 13 will be coming to most iPhones, at least like 6S and up, this fall. And iOS 13 battery management does a nifty thing. You need to know a little background about lithium ion batteries, though, to appreciate this. You may not realize that the advice for extending the life of your lithium ion battery is not to keep them fully charged. The more cycles to 100% you have, the worse on your lithium ion battery.
Okay.
Also, you don't really want it to get depleted all the way. That's also hard on your battery. So the general advice is keep it between 40% and 80%. Don't let it fall below 40%. Don't regularly charge it above 80% and you'll extend the life of your battery. That's hard to do, right? Because everybody wants to have 100% battery at the beginning of their day. So everybody charges it overnight, which means overnight it's constantly hitting 100% and then, falling off of that to maybe 93, 92, and then charging back up to 100% because of the way battery management has worked in the past. iOS 13 now has an algorithm that can predict when you're sleeping and not likely to use the phone and then doesn't charge your phone past 80%. During that period until it thinks it's getting close to the time you're going to pick up the phone, and then it will charge all the way to 100% so that when you wake up and pick up your phone off the charger, it's fully charged.
Oh, interesting. But that's not just for phones that have gone through a lot of cycles. That's just straight up how it'll work out of the box for a brand new battery.
Interesting. And I think you can turn it off if you're like, I don't trust that, or I don't want a longer battery life, whatever. One thing I have a question I don't know is if it'll respect your alarm. It would be really cool if it looked and said, oh, he's got an alarm for 4 a.m. He must have an early flight. We'll make sure it's 100% before 4 a.m. I would hope that it would do some simple stuff like that, because that's where I would be very upset if I woke up for an early flight, grab my phone, and it's 80%. And I'm like, oh, great.
Well, in lieu of any massive developments in battery tech, this is a nice little stopgap, isn't it? Because batteries have stayed kind of the same They haven't really expanded much.
The other risk to constantly charging at 100% is you're at a bigger risk of overheating.
Oh, right. Oh, good point. I don't want that.
That's a really good point. I should have it in my stand, but not getting charged while I'm working during the day until it drops down, maybe 50, and then pop it back.
So
anything below 40 is bad. So if you see it getting below 50, that's a good time to charge it back up.
So this headset here, this Oculus Quest, I just have it plugged in all the time. I shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Should I?
I mean, I'm not. This pot is not going to call your kettle black. I've got everything plugged in all the time.
Yeah.
Think of the hassle if you had to just
remembering. Yeah, like right. keeping track of what percentage everything's.
Like, oh wait, I let that one go to 20%. Crap. You know. So putting it in the software, I think, is a brilliant idea on Apple's part.
Yeah, I do too. That's nice. I'd like to see that expand around other kinds of devices that we're using all the time. Like, I kind of want my watch to do that. I don't know if they said it would be part of watchOS or not, but that would be cool. My iPad, which is a tool I use always and has become a very important tool in my art arsenal. Sounds dirty. is a thing that...
Right up your arsenal.
I can feel that thing get warm when I charge it.
Or your arsenal?
In my arsenal. So, yeah, no, that's a cool piece of... tech for sure. And I know this week has been a lot of Apple stuff, but I do look forward to if there's time today, I want to pipe in about the sidecar thing they're doing.
Yeah, I figured that might be our main topic today, you know, just get Scott's take on sidecar particularly, but anything else.
Some of those implications are interesting for people like me. And also I have things to say about why Apple's weird. I may not be the forum for it on that show, but I want to talk about how that Mac Pro is not for individuals. It just straight up isn't. I mean, it is if you're a super rich guy,
it
then
really
fine,
isn't.
You should get it. But that's not who they're aiming that thing for. That thing is for studios with a fleet of these things, and they're going to buy those like crazy, and it's going to be great. And that thing is a monster. It's really very cool, but it's not for us. But here's the problem. Apple is so much of a front-facing, this is for you, the consumer kind of company. I think they've created some confusion for themselves. Not just this, but the iMac Pro was a little on the expensive side, but it also kind of skirted that prosumer consumer thing. And then they kind of seemed like they were forgetting about the pro users, and their software also was forgetting about pro users, but now they're kind of swinging that way again.
Exactly.
But now people hear that conference and go, I can't afford. Who could ever afford? And like, no, they're not talking to you, but they kind of are. Like, they have a weird...
Well, and they don't do themselves any favors when they decide to charge you $1,000 for a monitor stand. I don't care how cool that monitor stand is. It is not worth $1,000. So they're mixing in some things that you really should be rolling your eyes at with something that's, you know, a fairly legitimate price for a professional machine.
Yeah, this shouldn't be... if they'd have been consistent over the last 5 years in terms of where their focuses were and then had clear delineation between them... That wouldn't have been that hard to see it as for what it was, but all I heard for 3 days on Twitter was, it's like they never want me to buy another thing. It's way out of my... I'm like, no, dude, that's not for you. Ever. That was never for
that's
you.
That's the nature of the overbearing parent that is the internet, right? Nothing is ever good enough. So you're not doing enough for professionals, Apple. They do something for professionals. You're doing too much expensive professional things. What happened to the consumer, Apple?
No, it's a good point. And they all do it, and it annoys the hell out of me. But anyway, that'll be later today. We'll talk about that and so much more on the Daily Tech News Show. Tom, anything else before we go today?
I'm doing some fun things on my writing Patreon. You may not realize that I have a Patreon just to support my writing at patreon.com/acedetect, A-C-E-D-T-E-C-T. It is one of my NaNoWriMos that kind of was a collection of stuff. I had built a world and written a story in it, but then I had these documents from an ancient society and these FBI reports. And so I've decided to just publish it that way as a collection of leaked files from a confidential intelligence agency. So if you're a Patreon at patreon.com/acedetect, there are a couple of the first leaks there of Project Vera, which may or may not tell you about who actually runs the world. So, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, check it out.
Yeah, do. Also, I would recommend people check out our latest current geek episode. We talked about 12 Angry Men and I just still think about that movie since
that's
I saw it.
That's a movie, in case anyone doesn't remember. We weren't just talking about a dozen men that we thought were very angry.
No, not at all.
Just been watching them. Just been watching them get angrier and angrier and angrier.
It was so good and left such an impact on me. I hope that episode expresses that as best we could put it on audio, but it was really fantastic and a good episode to boot, so people should go check that out. Over at Kirk.
Yeah, 100% agree. That was a really fun episode.
Yeah, it went great. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. I'll see you later today for the Daily Tech News Show. All right.
Let's say bye, Tom, but he's already gone. He's already gone.
He's out of here, man. I kick people out. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Boot.
Ain't no hanging Boot. Around. What do you think this is? All right. Let's get Nicole in.
Okay.
You ever bite down on a Tic Tac and think it's a tooth that you just popped loose? You ever do that? I did it. For half a second there, I thought I'd broken a crown or something.
You forgot that you'd put a Tic Tac in your mouth? And
No, I remembered that. It was just like the way it broke in half had the feeling that I had busted something bad.
Sure.
And I still feel a little bit weird about it. All right, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Nicole Spagnolo, also from Colorado. Hello. Oh, she's muted. I don't know why.
Can't hear you.
Can't hear you. Nope. I can't even hear her yell Mark because Mark changed something on the thing. Can't hear her at all. She's waving at us and making sounds. Oh. Still can't hear her.
I was able to read her lips on that one, though.
What'd she say? I missed it.
That was an S-bomb there.
All right. I like those. The chat room's yelling Mark for her, so there's that.
Maybe, look at your... Oh, yeah, do you have a mute button on your... Oh!
Nope, that's it. That's it. Hello.
Whatever you did there.
Nope. Oh. No, go back to do whatever you did, because for a second it was working.
We were hearing clicking noises with whatever you just did.
Yeah. Oh. All right, she's coming back, I guess. There we go.
Okay.
Nicole, are you there?
Nope. Still can't hear.
Do I sound awful?
Oh, you're good enough. No, you're good enough. You're fine. Okay. You just sound like somebody who's on an internal mic somewhere. It's totally fine. Brian won't be able to see you, but it's okay. Not a problem. We're just glad to have you. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Recommendals. We do Recommendals here. Nicole comes on the show. We talk about recommended stuff, things that we like. that's the only way I could put it. Hey, let's get to it. Brian, we usually start with you and your recommendations.
Let's do that again, in this case, too. This won't be a surprise that it's getting recommended, but it may be a surprise that it's getting recommended from me and not from you, I think is the best way to put this.
All right, fair enough. Let's give it a shot. You have... Okay. Oh, let's see. I'm in the wrong folder. Sorry. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm playing it now. May we all listen to it carefully. Here you go.
Though none would deny the facts and the cost of a past, we who gather have known together... some portion of which must still be measured in blood.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yet the Deadwood community does enter its adult.
That might be
don't know spirits raise. You murdering, conniving, thieving sucker.
Resourceful and resolute, a vital part of the new made state of South Dakota. And this state, a vital part of our fine country.
So Simon and Simon is the movie, right?
Yes,
Simon
that's and Simon. Exactly right. Well done. Nailed it.
Or no, I'm sorry. Major Dad is what I meant. Major Dad.
Major Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the, obviously, it said it right there in the thing. This is the brand new Deadwood movie, which was a 3-night movie event for me because of the way I watch stuff on the iPad when Tina's not watching it. Basically, I watch it before I go to bed. This is great, and it's something that you want to watch if you've seen. You'll only want to watch if, well, maybe not only. You'll likely want to watch.
I've never seen any of the Deadwood episodes.
Oh, you should do that.
I watched the movie with Mark. First.
Oh, you already watched the movie. That's interesting.
Yep, okay. We watched it too.
How did you feel about that? Like that process of not knowing any of these characters, was that okay, or was it? What did you think?
The fact that I had a guide helped a lot. Okay. So, he told me the whole story about Trixie and why that was important. So you really should at least have somebody that's watched it before you watch the movie to kind of let you know why certain things are a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, if possible, what I would recommend to people is just rip through two seasons or whatever it is. It's three? It's three seasons. No, is it two? Whatever it is.
Three? I thought it was two.
Two, I think. I think you're right. I think I always just wanted three so bad that it just, I still say to myself, why isn't it three? But anyway, just go watch that show, rip through it, binge it. It's so good. And then I'm so happy to hear all these positive things about the about this finale, this two-hour closure we finally get. And sounds like you're right on board with that.
Totally on board with it. It's great. And yeah, you know, I mean, basically it's everybody that you want to see from the series that's still alive came back for this. So it was great. Yeah, I think
I want to see it. I don't know why it's taking me so long. Normally I'd have inhaled this, but
you,
I've just been
you'd
busy.
Be the word. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was expecting you'd be the person to be, that would be using this for your recommendal this week. So it's like, oh, you haven't seen it? Okay. I'm totally stealing it, Scott.
No,
sorry.
That was great. He sent me this like courtesy email or text this morning saying, so are you going to use that one or can I use it? I'm like, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because I'm binging that thing soon. And, in fact, I think it's the next thing I watch. That's just, I'm done with Chernobyl now. I'm good. And that brings me to today's recommendal where I don't have one because I've had no time to watch anything since Chernobyl.
I even gave you mine early.
I know you did. Oh, you did? Did you email it? I didn't
even
see
it.
I didn't even see it. What was it? Hold on.
Don't say it because if you don't, I'm going to, that's going to be my recommendal today.
All right. I won't say it. I'm just looking to see if where I got this email. I don't remember getting one.
Oh. It was a text.
It was a text
message to the two of us. And I said I'd watch something and I didn't watch it because we went to trivia last night instead. So, but, at least I acknowledged it.
Yeah. It's
this,
all right.
This is all true. Oh, I see. Now I know the one you're talking about.
I'll put the clip in if you want. Well, you want to just jump to me or you want to just talk about Chernobyl?
You want to talk more about Chernobyl?
I don't want to talk more about Chernobyl. I just wanted to say that Chernobyl's awesome. Okay, Nicole, we're jumping right to you. Right. What do you got over there? What are you doing?
I'm gonna text you because I don't know how to get you my clip since you kicked me out of the Discord.
Oh, I can re-add you. Let's see. Hold on. That's
easy. I can text it to you.
Yeah, you can text it. That'll work. I have that on desktop. Yep.
All right. There. It's to you and Brian.
Okay. I'm not looking. There it is. Okay, I'm gonna
hit
play.
You know what it is.
I'm not looking either, but I'm
hitting play. I do already know what it is. Yeah. Duh.
Oh yeah, I do too because I read it earlier. All right. Well, here you go. I'm playing it.
I look good?
Yes.
Water?
That came from your thigh gap? No, thank you.
Thanks for calling it a gap. We are catching up with celebrity chef Sasha Trent and her fiance, Brandon Choi.
What a great cause, huh?
Hey, yo, it's time to get the party. We're opening a new restaurant and I need you in San Francisco.
Hey!
Hi, Marcus.
Yeah. Hi, Sasha. Hi. Hello. Hi.
Long time.
Okay. This looks great.
You missed the best line.
Oh, I'll keep playing it.
Yes. Yes. Very long time. What's up?
Sasha Trent.
Mr. Kim.
Macaroni Asian Oprah. How much money do you have now?
Be serious.
Is this a move? Is Ali Wong, right? Is that who that is?
Yes, that's Ali Wong. Okay. And that's this is a Netflix movie called Always Be My Maybe. And it is wonderful. I'm not going to give you a spoiler. People are in the chat room are kind of dropping things. I know, Brian, you mentioned it. But I want, if you haven't seen this movie, you don't know anything about it. If you're looking for, it's a rom-com, but I don't know. It's probably one of the best rom-coms I've seen in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. Ali Wong and who's the actor?
Randall Park.
What's his? Randall Park. Yeah, so Randall he's Park. In, what's the sitcom?
He was in the
barbecue.
Fresh Off the Boat?
Fresh Off the Boat. So he's on in that.
Yeah.
I love them. I believe they wrote this movie together. If I
read is it? I heard a rumor Keanu Reeves shows up in this thing. Is that true?
Shut up! That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, was that what you were trying to hide? Is that the spoiler?
That's what she was trying to hide.
Does he come through and shoot everybody with a bunch of bullets or what?
Let's say the less you know about it, the better. I'm bummed that I kind of was already spoiled to a little bit of it.
All right, I'm in. I'm totally in. Daniel Day Kim, he's in there. That's cool. Lost.
Yeah, from Lost, yeah.
Other stuff.
Jin.
Yeah. Korean
dude.
That's
who when you heard when she was talking, he goes, that's her fiance. And so she's talking to him and he just responds to her by going,
Man, everyone in this movie is Asian except for the aforementioned Keanu Reeves, which is kind of cool. Look at all this. Look at this huge Asian cast.
He's Asian.
Is he? Well, he's like half Hawaiian or something, isn't he?
What, but they did hire a lot of Asians for the film.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I loved it.
Not so
it's
crazy.
So funny.
And not so rich.
Yeah. less rich, not as crazy Asians. Okay.
Seriously, one of the best scenes in a movie. I want to say almost ever in this
wow.
movie. So,
jeez.
Stay for the end. The song that Randall Park sings at the very end. He's a rapper in the movie. Mm-hmm. it's wonderful. All right.
Are you saying there's stuff after the credits that we need to watch, or just don't
credits,
leave?
Listen to the song.
Okay.
Watch the credits. Listen to the song. It's just
okay.
It was a surprising. I'm quilting again. My quilt room is done. So I set up, I have a little old iMac, like really old, but I'm like, it's fine to run Netflix. So I just started putting movies. I'm like, oh, I'll put that on there.
Yeah.
Cause they're pushing right now. It's so wonderful.
That's great. So, that's a great thing. It's great to have, it's one of the great things. And people don't talk about this a lot, but one of the reason Netflix and things like it is so great is if you've got stuff you got to do with your hands that you just normally sort of focus on, and maybe you used to listen to music while you did it or podcasts or whatever, just putting something on the screen and letting it go is the greatest thing. Except in this, I guess you probably got sucked into it and then you probably didn't quilt as much as you planned on or whatever.
Well, it was kind of fabric, so it's not like, you know, it just was nice to have. I actually watched two Netflix movies. Since you didn't recommend yours, do you want me to recommend the second one? Because I was a crazy woman watching movies this week.
Yeah, you must have. I had no time, sure. But tell me what you got.
So here's my second recommendal that I watched. I watched these two back to back, and again, loved it. Funny. I'm recommending a lot of funny movies today.
All right, playing.
I saw
this.
The name of it, and I'm taking it off my list for next week.
Oh, good.
That's my recommendal.
Gotcha. All right, here we go.
You did.
Maybe. Is it coming? Yeah.
I want to sing a little ditty for my sweet, very short friend, Rebecca, who is turning 22 tomorrow.
Wink, wink.
I'm going to give you something you ain't never had before.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I love her so much.
Close your eyes.
Oh, I wish you guys could see that. It's more visual than it is audio, but that looked like, what's her name? SNL lady.
Maya Rudolph.
I love her. Like, oh, this is wine. The name didn't show up right away. Wine Country. Okay, tell us about Wine Country.
So this is, like you said, it's Wine Country. Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Rachel McAdams. Is it Rachel? Not Rachel McAdams.
Oh, that might be right. Is it Rachel McAdams?
Rachel Dratch.
No,
Rachel Dratch, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not
her. A very different Rachel.
Yes.
Is this another direct?
Two women that I've never seen before or seen any. I haven't seen any of their work. But
and I'm going to tell you where you've seen. I'm going to tell you where you've seen the blonde woman.
Okay.
Okay.
Anytime on Saturday Night Live, especially in the 90s, in early 2000s, whenever the guest host would do the Q&A session as part of their monologue.
Mm. Oh, so she's a writer. She's
Anna Gasteyer. She was also on the show.
Not Anna Gasteyer. She was on the show.
Oh.
But no, the blonde woman was always the very first person that they would go to in the audience with a Q&A question.
This is Paula Pell is her name. Yeah.
She must have been a writer.
Now, the other woman, I have absolutely no idea. And she might have also been a writer on SNL, but I don't know.
Well, the blonde woman takes the role of Melissa McCarthy, which would have been perfect in this film too. But
she's out of the price range.
Paula
probably.
Pell was still funny.
Yeah.
I was missing some Kristen Wiig. She would have been great in this. What's her name?
The other one that's popular now.
Tina Fey. Tina Fey's in it.
Oh, yeah, Tina Fey.
Jason Schwartzman.
Schwartzman, yeah.
Schwartzman is.
I think it's Schwartzman is how you'd say it.
Schwartzman. So anyway, Amy Poehler, her friend is turning 50. She plans this birthday getaway in Napa, and hilarity ensues. I thought it was funny.
Did you like it, Brian? What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. Yeah, Tina and I watched it while we were in Victor. So once we got done with dinner and doing what we wanted to do, walking around Cripple Creek, and we went back to Victor, Colorado, where there was absolutely nothing else to do, we went back up to the room and watched Netflix, and this is what we watched.
Well, the reviews are real mixed, but if you both liked it, I think I would watch this.
Here's the thing. If you like all of those actresses already, you kind of know what you're going to get from this film. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, you know, your baby mama, your extended. Well, I think better than an extended.
Oh, it's not baby mama. That's a terrible.
Well, no, but I mean, it's kind of what you know what you're going to get as far as like a comedy level.
Yeah.
This is not going to be. This isn't going to be Wedding Crashers or something really juvenile. It's also not going to be, you know what you're going to get. It's Tina Fey. It's Amy Poehler. It's, you know, Rachel Dratch and Anna Gasteyer and Maya Rudolph. It's, you know, what you
signed up for. Sure. I feel like
and it's very good.
I liked Baby Mama. I'm just going to put it out there. So for whatever reason, that movie appealed to me and I don't know why. So maybe I'd like this just fine.
I think you'd like it.
It looked like something my wife would.
Wait for Kim to get back, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a movie for her, for sure. So we'll probably wait until she gets home. For some reason, she's rewatching freaking Grey's Anatomy again. And it's killing me. It's just killing me. Because, A, there's so much other good new stuff on.
Yeah.
But it's comfort food. She loves that show. And I hate it. Because every time anything happens, it's so unrealistic. It's just like the stuff they do, even just the conversations they have while they're doing surgery on somebody, it doesn't freaking happen ever. Like nobody ever goes, hey, so you want to meet in the closet later? And it sucks. That show sucks.
Do you think she said the same thing about like, oh my God, I can't believe he's watching MASH again.
Probably. Yeah. Although she likes MASH. And so I try not to give her too much crap. But since she's not here, just want her to know I can't stand Grey's Anatomy. I mean, I want to like it, but gosh dang it.
Well, so you now have two movies to watch with her. I would say Always Be My Maybe would be the first one.
Okay.
And if you can't remember the title of this, just think of the Mariah Carey song. Always be my... Instead of baby, it's maybe. Okay. That's how you remember.
Okay. All right. Well done. That's a great way to look at your Hooked on Phonics going on there.
Well, they put it at the end of... They actually use the Mariah Carey song in the movie. I'm like... Oh, that's where they got the title of the movie. So,
all right. Two fine recommendations from Nicole. Here's the deal. If you want to find out what these are, you don't have to just remember them. She'll put up a tweet on Nicole's bag, and you'll be off to the races with all three of these fine recommendations today on Recommendals. Nicole, have a fantastic week.
Bye. I'll fix my audio.
I hope your mic works soon. Bye.
Bye.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Jackalope Ashley was in the chat room. I can't stand it. They're talking over each other. It's like, well, it's because Skype can't hear me, so I have to kind of like.
Well, it can. It just doesn't give you priority, which sucks.
Or it delays it or something.
Yeah. It basically, if she's talking and you're talking, she won't hear you because Skype is weird that way.
No duplex.
Yeah, no duplexing at all. Whereas Discord at least gives us duplexing. But that was I don't know. She had something's wrong with her setup. I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
She'll work it out. Brian, today is a Coverville day. What's happening over there with the Coverville?
Yes, it's a Coverville day. So 35 years ago, yesterday, technically, an album came out, Scott, a very monumental album, which featured many hits like Darlington County and Downbound Train. Okay, probably songs you know better like I'm on Fire, Dancing in the Dark. Wow, again, another Courtney Cox reference today. That's crazy. That's three in a row. Mm. Bobby Jean, and then the title track, Born in the USA. Yes, Born in the USA came out on June 4th, 1984, and we're going to go through the entire album, all 12 tracks with covers of each one, including Cover Me. But you won't hear my version. You're going to hear a different version.
Oh, no sale then. Forget it. I'm not going.
Because my version only has the first verse and chorus in it. I never recorded the whole song. So
that's true. Anyway, I still want to hear it. You should play it for old time's sake at the very least. You should do that.
Well, I'll play it at the beginning of the show because I always play it at the beginning of the show. How's that?
Not of you singing it, is it? Is it always you singing it?
Yeah. The one that's always the one of me singing.
Oh, I thought that was somebody else now.
Nope.
Oh, well, then you deserve the credit because it sounds really good. I didn't realize you could belt it out like that. Nice job.
Yes. Right.
Just play that on repeat for an hour. Do that.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
But instead, I'll do this, and it's going to be...
See, chat room surprise, too. Rusty Nails is like, what? That's Brian singing in that version? Yes, it is.
So bands like The Waybacks, Jen Chapin, The Crypt Keeper 5, and Hot Chip all doing covers. Oh, and Vampire Weekend even doing a cover on this episode.
What?
What song will Vampire Weekend cover? You'll have to listen to find out. 1 p.m. over there at twitch.tv/coverville.
My curiosity is, as they say, peaked.
Peaked.
Right. Check that out. That's today at 1. What else is going on? I'll be on DTNS today. Tonight we have Core, we have After Games, all that stuff. Maybe a few other things in between. Don't know. We'll see. I got a lot of art to do today. I don't know when I'm going to fit all my art in, but sometime today I'll be fitting it in.
I got to clean my car and get it ready for my Lyft inspection tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about this for some
reason.
It's
going to be fun. I'm looking forward to stories for TMS.
I'm also glad you're doing Lyft because Uber treats people bad.
And that's the whole reason I'm doing Lyft. Yeah. And that's
But the stories we're going to get. Grace. We're going to get stories.
I'm hoping.
You're going to get somebody who's going to barf right in your cup holder or something. You're going to get...
I'm done. I'm going
worst case scenarios here. I'm sure it's all going to be good, but I don't know. If you record stuff on a device, that's probably illegal, right? You can't do
that's
that.
That's illegal. Yeah, I can't. I won't do that.
That's too bad.
Could have one of those dash cam things that I've been in cars where they have the dash cam pointing behind me.
Yeah.
To, like, show the back.
Yeah.
I think if you have it for insurance purposes or for safety purposes, there's something good about that, but I don't think you can just broadcast everything you record from that.
Yeah, you're probably right. What if you put what if they got in and you said, "Hey, I'm recording stuff. Is that okay with you?" And then just if they say no, say no problem, and if they say yes, you just do it. I don't know, it seems like maybe that'll complicate things.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get better stuff if I recount the stories of the people who get in the car, you know, and I'm thinking my time period is probably going to be like early mornings before TMS. I'm going to try and get my stuff prepped so that I can get in maybe an hour and a half of driving people around. Because I look at peak times and it's either rush hour or early morning. And I'd much rather drive in the morning.
Yeah, I would too. Well, all right then.
Yeah, I don't want taxi cab confessions in my car. That's why I'm not doing any lifting after 10 p.m.
Yeah, IBIT after dark. No way. Forget it.
Yeah, no, that's when you get people puking in the cup holders.
Yeah, that's tuck and lift at night.
Ugh. Ooh.
All right, well, more on that as we get closer to it. Patreon.com/TMS is a great place to support this nonsense. If you like our show, then get over there right now, patreon.com/TMS. And if you're like, man, where's all the rest of your stuff? I want links. Well, it's easy, frogpants.com/TMS. We're out of here. We have a song to play. I don't know what it is, so Brian's going to have to explain it.
I'll explain. A lot of 50th birthdays going around. First, we had that one in Wine Country, and now this one from Annette saying, "Happy 50th birthday to my wonderful husband, Devin. I know how stressful things have been with you and with your mother moving in with us, as well as going through the process of buying a new house. Yikes. Just remember, we are a team, and I love you," says Annette.
Oh.
Well, I hear this, and of course, the first thing that comes to mind is a song by Ernie K. Doe from the 60s, maybe even late 50s, that I'm sure don't apply to Devin and Annette. I'm sure that they love their mother/mother-in-law dearly, but this song just came to mind. And this is a great version. In 1994, Huey Lewis and the News came out with an album called Four Chords, and several years ago, where they did covers of oldies. It was really, really good, and included this cover of Ernie K. Doe's Mother-in-Law.
Oh my gosh, this sounds great. I didn't know Huey Lewis did that, and now I gotta go find it. That's awesome. All right. Sorry. There you go. We'll play that now. We'll be back tomorrow. Wendy will be here. Therapy Thursday, all that business. So come on back for our Thursday edition, and we'll see you then.
Mother-in-law.
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 Worst person I know.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
She worries me so.
Alone, we could have a happy home.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
He does seem to be obsessed with leopards.
Uh-huh.